When I was in seminary, I used to worship every day at the Chapel of the Apostles, or CODA, as we called it. And hanging prominently behind the altar, oriented in a place that no gaze could avoid, was this very lifelike and life-size crucifix. Many people were disturbed by its realistic features. To be honest, it made me a little bit uncomfortable too, because it was always a reminder that no matter how long the sermon or the class or the presentation that I had to sit through, it was nothing compared to the suffering of Jesus. It kind of made me feel like a whiner. The worst part of the crucifix to me was Jesus' skinned knees. You can't really see it in this picture, but his knees were rough and skinned, and that seems so tame compared to a nail in your hands and feet. But skinned knees are something that we've all experienced, we can all relate to. The rest of the horrible suffering of being crucified seems so unreal to me. It's so violent, it's hard to imagine. Or maybe it's not hard to imagine, but we protect ourselves by selectively tuning out some things that, because they're too devastating to think about. And now that we've just been through Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, we are all about putting the suffering Jesus behind us in favor of a risen Christ in beautiful, dazzling white robes, a la Jesus Christ Superstar. So why today, the Sunday after Easter, when we see a risen Christ appear to his disciples, a miracle beyond belief, do we still have reminders of the suffering and pain? I think it's interesting that in today's gospel, Jesus appears to his disciples who are hiding behind a locked door, and after granting them his peace, he immediately shows them his hands and his side. Of all the things that might identify Jesus, how he looks or his voice, it's the scars that his body still bears that assure them of his identity. So this story just begs the question for me. If Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he overcame death, broke the chains of sin, saved us and the world, why did he come back with visible scars? Why didn't his body that had been really dead for 3 days, that was miraculously filled with life once again, healed not only the organs that had ceased to function, but also the visible signs of torture and death? Why do we still have to see them? Why can't the slate be completely wiped clean? No trace of what was bad, no sign of previous trauma. We know what scars are. They're different from open wounds because scars are signs of healing. They may stay with us forever, but they are proof of the miraculous healing power of our bodies, the bodies that God created. Perhaps just as the resurrection was real, is real, so are the marks that are left behind. A testament of history, of fact, but also of future. I have myself scars on my shoulder and on my side from an accident when I was a baby. And I don't remember the event, but I'm reminded of the trauma that many people were part of when I see them. I'm reminded of the miraculous power of my tiny body to heal and the work of the doctors and the emotional healing of my parents that had to watch their baby suffer through an injury. I am reminded of their faith that God would walk with them and me as this healing took place. And I am reminded how resilient I am. And so it is with scars that are on the inside too. I have a dear friend that lost her teenage daughter in a car accident over a decade ago. She doesn't have a scar that you can see with your eyes, but to know her is to see and feel her scar. And yet her deep faith has guided her on a journey to heal the open wounds. And with therapy and prayer and the love of her community, she continues to heal. She says that her scar makes her hopeful. There are women in the jail that Ann Wild visits every week that carry outward and inward scars of abuse and addiction and neglect and violence. Yet even in a locked cell, Jesus has come in and shown an example of what life can be like in the presence of healing. Jesus shows us his scars, his wounds, made by those that worked to destroy him. But those marks are proof death does not win, that violence and oppression, abuse, addiction do not overcome the power of love. Our scars, physical, emotional, or psychological, can often be parts of ourselves that we would rather forget. They might be in the shape of broken relationships or deep hurt or pain that's still happening or loss. But what if Jesus' resurrected body is only a sign that points to healing and wholeness, but also a symbol of what is perfect in God's eyes? What if scars are a kind of perfection? What if our healed wounds made us look more like Christ than less like Christ? What if our scars made us more able to listen, to empathize, to forgive, to be forgiven, to connect, or to believe in others? Scars are the sign of the completeness of us, the good, the bad, the ugly, the joy, the sorrow, the loss, and the love. All the things that make us who we are. All of the things that make us human. It's not perfect, nipped, and tucked, smoothed over versions of ourselves that God sees. It is the sometimes beat up and worn down, strung out, tattered, and bruised versions of us that our God is deeply in love with. It is the whole package of us that God calls to be beloved children. It is the broken versions of ourselves that God is well pleased with. Jesus' scars that he shows the disciples and us today are an inseparable part of the risen Christ. The one who came to be human with us and take our sins to the cross. The risen Christ, scars and all, is living proof that God brings new life into a world in need of salvation and forgiveness and wholeness, compassion, redemption, restorative justice, and love. God does not promise to make our scars go away. But God does promise that they will not define or control us. Pain, suffering, injustice, and death will not have the last word because there is always new and restored whole and full life to be had. New life in a perfectly scarred risen Christ. Hallelujah.